Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes.
What's up? Blow. What's up, everyone? You know, welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. Hope you had a great weekend and enjoyed yourself. You know, and always one of those weekends with some news bearing down. And, of course, our thoughts and prayers go out to those who lost their lives. In Turkey now, it seems like we're always talking about somebody who, some terrorist or some government overthrow. And I think this is something that, you know, again, we're going to ignore it. I just know our government, and I know it's going to happen. But, you know, one of the things that's important, okay, is that, hey, you know, we may choose to ignore it, but it's what I've been saying all along, is that a revolt is coming, okay? Notice how the number of attacks have gone up. Notice how the number of problems that we see around the world are. So now we've got, you know, the Turkey coup. We had the Bastille Day massacre. We've had almost on a weekly basis some sort of attack. And that's just a sign of that the natives are getting restless. I mean, people are tired of being broke. People are tired of a failing economy. And people are tired of what's going on. Now, again, you know, I don't know how it's going to end, but this is something that we're watching. But in the meantime, all that being said, and here we are, stock markets, all-time record highs. Okay, Dow and S&P, all-time record highs. Russell and NASDAQ, not quite there yet, but it's an amazing, amazing phenomenon. And this is what you should be noting to your mind right now. Note to self, that the outside noise, the outside data, doesn't really mean a hill of beans, okay? Think about this now. Think about what's going on in the world, okay? And look at the stock markets. I mean, you know, all worldwide stock markets were flying higher last week in spite of all the trouble, in spite of all the problems, and yet the buyers come in. And what does it really mean? What it really means, guys, is that there's money out there, okay? Now, there's not money on the... You're not going to hear from me there's money on the sidelines, because there's always money on the sidelines. But there's money out there that's got to be invested. So if it's going to be invested, where am I going to put it? And then you decide where you're going to put it. And then now, and if you put it in Europe and you put it in Japan, but the bulk is still going to go to the U.S. because the U.S. is still, and always will be, I think at least in my lifetime, the safest economy to invest in. But we haven't seen an extreme amount of fear. I mean, if you look at it, you've seen actually the treasuries have sold off quite a bit. You've seen, after peaking, after the 10-year rate going down to 131, now back up to 150. Okay, you know, you've seen some of that fear dissipate. You've seen the volatility dissipate. But yet, you know, there's all these issues. And again, I can't say this enough times, that's why you don't try to use common sense or fundamental data to look at the market, because the market doesn't care. Okay. Money does not care where it goes. Money wants to make money. Now, the reason everybody invests is because we want to make money. We're not investing because we want to put away for retirement, which is, I mean, obviously the objective, but we're investing it in something that we think is going to make money. Okay. So if you look around at the potential investments that are out there, there is not a lot of good investments. So they are forcing everybody into equity markets. Now, I think that eventually, if I may predict, I will predict that they will trap as many people as they can. They will get as many into these equity markets worldwide, but especially the U.S. as they can. They will get you out of all the other things, and then the markets will collapse. And, of course, they will torture more of the innocent once again, because the innocent have an emotional bias. And of course, you know, when you're investing somebody else's money as a fund manager, your only risk is, well, maybe you lose the client, maybe you lose the commission. But when you're investing your own money, okay, your concern is much bigger. So that goes back to nobody cares more about your money than you do. But if you continue to let things play out and let the street convince you that you belong in the equity market, I'm going to tell you right now, okay? Now, again, I'm not saying there's not a stock to buy or some stocks to buy. There's always something to buy. But what I'm saying, as a general rule, if you're just pouring in, you know, blindly into the market, you're making a mistake, okay? Again, I'm not predicting gloom and doom tomorrow. I'm saying that be more careful, be more cautious with your money. You know, when you've already had such a monster rally, you know, and if we're going to have another leg up, and I'm not talking about 2-3%, I'm talking about a major move, then the markets are going to consolidate first before that major move comes. Okay. They're not going to keep going up at this trajectory. So you will have plenty of time to get in if indeed this is going to be another leg to the upside. But more importantly, part of investing, part of trading, is defending your capital. And that's what I'm talking about, is making sure that you are in defense of your capital and not willy-nilly throwing away or throwing into markets that may or may not go higher. Okay. And again, I'm not saying you're not going to go higher. I'm saying that if indeed this is going to be another bull leg up, you'll have plenty of time to get in. But we know that the financials, the insurance companies are running into trouble because they can't put enough money out on the street to actually make the bottom line. We know that there's other issues going on. We know that employment is bad. We know that growth is bad. We know that CapEx spending is bad. And all that means nothing right now because the markets are still making a high. But will the market have enough energy? Will the market have enough oomph to continue the move higher? Okay. And will it be substantial? That's my look at it. Will the move be substantial enough to where we can make money if we're just blindly in? And again, I always recommend that you study and you look to make sure what you want to be in. You look for good, solid, fundamental companies and you buy them on technical reasons. And again, I have no problem, okay, of buying things. In fact, I think later in the week, I'm going to put together my call and we'll go through stocks that I think are buyable, because there's always something buyable. You know, there's, again, we're not against the market. We know the market goes up 9% year over year. But we also know that the markets do have to have some sort of selling pressure to actually make them healthier and weed out the crap. So we'll see. But overall, you know, again, I'm not telling you to sell it here, but I'm just saying I would not be looking to invest a lot of new money right here. I'd let the schmucks go in and let them pour it in, okay, and let's see how it reacts. Because, again, based on the phases of the market, you will have an opportunity to get in if indeed this is going to be the next leg up. And that's what I always warn, okay? It's better to be conservative and observe and not lose money than to be aggressive and lose money. Now, again, we always count the money lost, but let's count the money saved, okay, from not being involved, because then you don't give up the opportunity cost. Just a note. You know, a note to self, again, just to keep yourself in the game and ready to go. And one of the ways you keep yourself in the game as well is by going to libertytalk.fm and downloading the Bubba Show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. Again, it's great content, as well as then BubbaTrading.com. You know, we put up a lot of good stuff, and we've got great programs, and I'm not selling them to you. I'm just telling you that if you want to learn to be better, you go to BubbaTrading.com and look at some other programs. This is the Bubba Show. Top of board. We'll be back after the
break. All right, boys, follow me. Mostly in A.
Back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's time for the one, the only, the extremely talented, my friend, Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. You got to check her out. She's on top of it. And Jane, we're always talking, and there's always something bad happening lately, and it's getting kind of scary. What are you thinking, and what are you talking about out there?
It is. It's unbelievable. I mean, this is becoming like a weekly event, these terror attacks. I mean, I can't believe I'm even saying that. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know what to say about this. The policies that are going on right now are not working. You know, I was listening this morning to MSNBC and hearing, you know, Mika, you know, who I like, but, you know, talking about, oh, you know, we can't, Newt Gingrich is offending Muslims and things. And I was just like, come on. I mean, we have to do something about this. This is problem isn't getting any better. And I just think so many people are so deeply ingrained in their brain cells that we can't offend anybody, that it's killing us. And I mean, I just completely disagree with that philosophy. And I think we have to fight. And it's just not going to be, this is not going to be pretty, and it's not going to be easy, and it's going to be very difficult. But I don't know if the will is out there in the United States or in Europe to fight this.
Well, I mean, doesn't that go to, and I don't want to bash Obama. I mean, I don't like to bash anybody in days like this, but doesn't that just go to our leadership, a guy who, he'll turn the lights in the White House to the colors of France. But, I mean, don't we need somebody who says, all right, look, it's enough. It's time to be the aggressor instead of trying to react, because every time we wait to react, we end up doing nothing anyways. So now we've had, you know, just the major ones, you know, three terrorist attacks in France, a couple here, Brussels. I mean,
we've had Belgium, we've had Istanbul. I mean, it's just, I lose track. I honestly lose track because there's been so many lately.
I mean, isn't it just a couple of
things about Obama. Like, I think he's seriously misjudged. I've entrusted way too much Arab nations. And I don't know if this goes back to, you know, his childhood. I know he spent time in a Muslim nation, grew up there. His dad was Muslim. I don't know if this is like some kind of weird, deep psychological thing. But I mean, it's just, you know, appeasement, and it's not even saying radical Muslim and radical Islam. We wouldn't even say it. And it's the deal with Iran, and just it's trust. It's too much trust. And it's putting the country that he was elected to lead in danger. And so I'm, you know, not happy about that. And I just think, you know, he's made a lot of, like, poor choices. He probably thought they were good. He probably thought they'd work, and they just haven't. And the situation's getting worse. And it's laying the stage for us to see Donald Trump as president, I think. I mean, I think, you know, people are tired of it. You know, I'm tired of hearing the platitudes every time this happens. I mean, he might as well just have a, you know, like some kind of standard response, because it's the same thing. It's a, we agree with the nation, we denounce this in the strongest of terms. I mean, it's the same stuff over and over again, and nothing changes.
I mean, doesn't, in your opinion, doesn't it go back to that, the people that we have in charge, and that goes to the Fed, it goes to everything. It's, everybody's trying to operate this country from a textbook and how it's supposed to be done, which is really not what happens. And when you have advisors telling you that you need to be stronger against this, and you don't listen to them, what's the point of having the advisors?
Right. Well, how do we get here? I mean, that's the question. Like, something happened. Like, maybe the turning point was, like, the late 80s, early 90s. Like, everybody got super cautious. Everybody was afraid to say anything that was just, you know, remotely shocking or unique or different. And if you did do that, you were denounced. And so only the absolute strongest people were able to speak their minds. And, I mean, it's so weird. I mean, maybe it's the education. I mean, maybe it's the baby boomers, the 60s. You know, maybe that's what did it, because it was really when they started taking leadership roles in the country that we started to see this. I mean, everyone afraid of lawsuits, everyone afraid of offending people, no one speaking their mind, no one, and, you know, it's just, we're just like walking around like a bunch of zombies, and we're getting attacked, and we're sad about it for 2 days, and then we move on, and we argue about it and nothing changes. And it's, you know, it's scary for me. I work in Times Square. I'm raising my kids in New York. It's scary, and I really would love to see somebody solve this problem.
I agree with you. Listen, I said on Maria Bartiromo's show over 2 years ago that we just got to go take them out. That's my way of handling it.
That's the thing. Remember after 9/11, you know, people were saying we have to fight this battle on their land. And, while Iraq was a mess and it wasn't done and executed properly, and that should have been done differently, at least they weren't here and in Europe. And so, you know, now, you know, that we pulled everybody out of there almost, except for a few thousand people, they brought the fight to us. And that's, you know, what the military experts predicted would happen. So now we're dealing with it on, you know, as we go to the movies and go to the restaurants and bars and celebrate Bastille Day. And, you know, this is what the world we live in right now.
Unfortunately, we're not safe anywhere because there's always the opportunity or the chance that some nut will try to take you out. And it's, you know, just one guy or, you know, I mean, it's a group, but, you know, one guy will do it. And I don't know. It's kind of sad. But I want to ask you this now. Obviously, New York, traditionally a Democratic state, right? But
yes.
They had the, I guess they had a poll that Trump was actually possibly leading in New York. Any chance that he can win New York in this upcoming election?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Like, I would be very surprised if he would win New York City. New York City is basically made up of minorities and rich white liberals. I mean, you do have, you know, some Republicans, but it's very few. But upstate New York has dealt with a lot of the same issues that we've seen in the Midwest and the Rust Belt, a lot of manufacturing leaving, a lot of them shutting down. So I wouldn't be surprised if he would win upstate, you know, Buffalo and those areas and those counties. I don't know if that's enough to outweigh New York City or not. We'll see. I mean, I think it's going to be a very close election this year, and particularly if we continue to see attacks like we did yesterday. And, you know, it wasn't a good week for Hillary last week. I mean, she didn't get indicted, but I think a lot of people listened to what the FBI director had to say and really thought long and hard about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. And then of course, with all the things going on in the world, the market just continues to go straight up. It is an amazing anomaly. It's up, you know, like unbelievable, obviously brand new highs. You know, you have to be happy. Your Chinese funds are doing better, and, you know, the market is doing better. What do you think? I mean, isn't it amazing how that market just can continue to go up in spite of everything?
Well, that's a totally central bank driven. I mean, it really started with the election of Abe in Japan and the fact that he is so pro-stimulus and got elected by a wide margin. So that election, I think, got this whole ball rolling this week. And then we had the Bank of England not changing interest rates, but indicating they will, and they're watching it, and they're open to it. And, of course, we have the Fed now probably on hold for the rest of the year. So, you know, I think this rally has just been completely driven by central banks and either their action or expected non-action or stimulus coming up. And then also, you know, there's no place else really to put your money right now. And that's part of it, too.
I don't know. I bought a new mattress. I could put it there, but, you know, it's
well, it looks enticing some days, the bank of mattress. But, yeah, I mean, this has been an amazing week. And, you know, it's hard to explain these things to, you know, average Americans about, well, the Bank of England this, and Abe are elected in Japan. And that means, you know, people's eyes kind of glaze over when you start talking about that. But I feel like it's kind of important to at least throw that in there a little bit because, this could come to a very abrupt end and it could be very painful at some point. And I don't want people to be totally surprised by that.
No, I mean, again, you're 100% correct. And, of course, I don't think we're getting a rate increase until 18 at earliest. That's my opinion. Yeah. I don't see the growth. I don't see a lot of things going on. I see a market going higher, and I see a lot of people firing in with margin money to get in. And, hey, we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, we've got terrorist attack on one side. We've got a market rally on the other side. And we've got an election that seems to be kind of wild. Any last thoughts from you, my dear?
Well, no, just, you know, watching the election and interesting to see my home state, Indiana, get a lot of attention this week. Indiana's played a crucial role in this election. I mean, they were really kind of the state that put Trump, you know, ahead in the primary. Now the governor may be the vice president. It looks like that's going to be likely. So never thought Indiana would be such a big player. But here we go.
The vice president's coming from Indiana. This has been my friend, Jane King, the Kaching Report, Lila Max Media. You got to catch her on TV. Jane King, as always, I love you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Todd.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop by here for a break. Make sure when you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm. You can get the download of The Bubba Show as well as The Sporting Edge. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Show Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for my buddy Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. And Matt, a little bit of a challenge last week. You know, we know these things happen. And what were you seeing last week?
Well, in stock indices, as high as we could possibly go, and maybe not see a breakout. It's borderline for me. I think any higher really, and that's a breakout for sure.
You know, it's amazing that we could have so much stuff going on and nothing really good. But again, one thing I think is important for everybody to understand is that's why a guy like Matt strictly looks at the chart, because if you looked at the fundamentals, you'd say, how could this market possibly continue to go higher? Yet here we are at new highs, and can we break out farther? Hey, there's nobody knows. The markets don't announce themselves, but we saw some pretty big moves up, and and we saw some breakage in the bonds, which you've been looking for. What are you seeing? What's your general overview here?
Well, I'm seeing that we were short both stocks and bonds. We were short treasuries, and that's kind of worked out okay, because the treasuries have fallen a lot. So what I'm seeing is, we can either have a continuation of stocks higher, bonds lower, or we're going to revert back to stocks falling again, which is more or less the way I'm leaning still. But we have some clearly defined levels that if we go any further, that's it. So for example, in Euro stocks 50, we got up to 29, 58, something like that. If we get above 29.60 in the Euro Stoxx 50, then it should just keep going. It should go as high as 3,200, if that's the case. We're also looking at the yen. Yen often correlates well with global stocks going up or down. So as the yen strengthens, that tends to be negative for stock indices, particularly the Nikkei. In any case, yen just hit support on Friday, and so in terms of dollar yen, if we reverse it the other way, which most people follow, I don't think we should. If we see a move above 106.30 in dollar yen, then I think global stock indices just continue to run higher. Okay. Otherwise, I think they turned down here.
Well, of course, the Nikkei was up, what, 7.5% last week? So
yeah, it was a big winner, yeah.
When you say, now you gave me a number, 2960 on the Eurostox. Now, when does that become a play? In other words, when is it considered a breakout? I mean, if it just prints over 2960, or is there something that has to happen, and once it hits 2960, how do you determine, when you say this is my upside target or downside target, what is considered a breakout? A close above that price or a trade above that price? What do you consider?
Yeah, intraday. So an intraday trade above it is all we need. We don't need a close. And the reason why I bring up the Euro stocks is because that has a pattern based upon, you know, my methods, that we're right against the line right now. So it makes it very clear. If a breakout to me is just any move above that line. So it's a declining line. We've actually gone higher. We went higher last week than the 2960 level, but it's a declining line. So we'll break it if we really go any higher. We're right on the line.
Now, were you reverse at that point, or do you then wait to see if that line will hold? So if you were short, you would cover, but would you cover in reverse, or would you cover and then wait to see if that was actually a false breakout or a real breakout?
We definitely cover, and then it depends on the pattern whether or not we'd go long. In this case, we'd go long on a break of last week's high, which I can tell you what it was.
I don't need the exact number. I mean,
yeah, last week's high. If we got above it, then we'd go long.
That's in your newsletter, and of course, you know, all the finer points, you know. But I mean, I'm just, you know, I always wonder about the theory. I mean, me personally, I don't reverse. You know, if I get out, like if I was short and I got out, I'm not getting long there. I'll sit and wait and see if the pattern will establish. I mean, you're a little bit more sophisticated on your charting methods than I am. But I don't believe in reversing, because I think I'd go play in traffic and let a semi run over me if I reversed and then got run over the other way. So I don't trade like that. But
It's definitely, I'll say this, it's definitely dangerous to do it. Like, it depends, you know, it depends on every situation. I mean, this particular one, you might consider doing it because it's a clean enough pattern. But, you know, there's other warning signs out there, which we can get into. But the overall setup looks pretty, like everything that, if you look at the universe of what, you know, what we're following, most of it is lining up for, you know, a bearish move.
I mean, the one thing that I look at the most, Matt, is, you know, you send us the commitment of traders all the time, and of course they've covered, you know, let's say 30% of their volatility futures, but they've doubled up on their index futures, which to me indicates even a bigger bearish feeling. I mean, you know, volatility is great, and typically if the market goes down, we get higher volatility. However, if they're now doubling up on the indexes or tripling up on the actual indexes, that's even a bigger sign that they want to be short. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, you know, their volatility position is still a bearish one for stock indices. So that's still arguing for a bearish move, even though, like you said, they've lightened up. And then, yeah, they've continued this entire move up since the bottom in February. They've been adding to their short positions in the Dow, NASDAQ, S&P futures. And so now they're at levels that you don't typically see. 3-to-1 short in Dow, 4-to-1 short in NASDAQ futures. So, you know, they can let, this can go against them for a while, and they'll just, in some cases, just let it. And then, you know, until it actually turns into a sell-off that they can cover into. But yeah, that's very bearish. Also, if you look at VIX option premiums, those are suggesting, you know, much higher volatility going forward. And they're selling VIX puts for almost nothing. So that tells you that they don't see a whole lot of opportunity for the VIX to move lower.
Well, I mean, you know, we're getting down to a level, you know, obviously I've been doing this for a long time, but, you know, we get down to these levels in the VIX, and it doesn't mean we're going to get a pop right away, but certainly one thing we do know is that, you know, I mean, can it go lower? Yeah, but I mean, typically the lowest I've ever seen is around 9 in the volatility index, and that was in 2004. And certainly we could get down there again, but you know, that's like the death rattle when it gets down there. I mean, it doesn't mean that we're going to do anything, but it's like business dries up, and I think that's one of the big problems as well. Is the more volatility falls, the less business there is, and the less trade, the less volatility, the less volume. Everything kind of dries up when volatility dries up. What do you think?
Yeah, that makes sense. And I mean, we're, you know, at basically 12, you know, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel of you know, we can go down to 9, but I agree with that, yeah. You know, and there's one other thing that's interesting about, you know, their futures position, which is that their gross position is still very large. So there's over 100,000 contracts that they're long, and they happen to be short 60,000 contracts. Overall, they're, you know, these are multiple banks that could be betting against each other, but there's still a very large long position, which you typically don't see. You know, it's a very large long gross position, which you don't really see, you know, at a market bottom. Obviously, we're not at a bottom, but it doesn't portend good things typically.
Right. No, I mean, I get it. The bottom line is that we see a lot of things that are strange, and you know, again, for you, they're not necessarily strange. Other than if you take if you lift your head away from the chart and you look at some of the fundamental stuff, but. For a guy who's charting it, it really doesn't matter. This is what it is. This is what I've got. And this is what I'm going to do based on what I see, correct?
Yeah, correct. Absolutely.
You know, so we have to look at, you know, and I think that's one of the biggest problems as well, Matt. I think too many people look at too many things, and, you know, and I talk about a lot of this all the time. And, for example, you know, in the grain space, everybody's trying to play the weather, okay? And I go, hey, Goldman Sachs is paying guys millions of dollars a year to be on top of the weather. I mean, if I can't read the chart, I've got educated weathermen who can't get the weather right, and I've got Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan, those guys spending millions of dollars trying to be ahead of me. What kind of chance have I got trying to bet on the weather?
Yeah, really. I mean, well, you know, and you know, weather obviously is a fundamental factor for you know, agriculture, but if you take a look at, you know, if you look at S&P, you know, fundamental factors are extremely stretched, or, you know, but the market's going up. So, I mean, they don't always correlate perfectly either.
Exactly. I mean, again, I always want to make sure everybody understands exactly what Matt Demeter from Demeter Research does, and that is he's purely a technician that is purely reading the footprint that the market leaves. It's a map. It doesn't work 100%, but it gives you a hell of a lot better shot at being correct, and it raises the probability of what you can do and how you can trade the market while also taking out your emotional being, which is an extremely important thing when it comes to trading. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horace here with our guy, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And, I mean, again, every week he's on top of it, okay? And it's not always 100% right, but it's always the right idea. But the other part he has is he defenses you as well so that you know how to get out when things aren't going well. If you miss a show, LibertyTalk.fm. Check it out. We're getting right now about $230,000 a month. We're looking for more. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Top of the Horse. We'll be back in a minute. Heading down south to the left. Told us about crude oil, and you covered your stuff and had done well. Now, crude kind of it continues to work its way lower after a little bit of a pop. What are you seeing in the crude market?
I think, you know, there's room for a little bit more bounce here. We're looking to get short again. You know, if we were to get back up to, you know, the $50 area, we would certainly be short. But we probably will short sooner than that, probably high 40s. But I'm not seeing I'm just seeing probably a little bit more continuation of the bounce first.
Now, you know, we get a lot of stuff in the markets. You know, we had the turkey coup on it sounds like turkey stew. The turkey coup on Friday, right at 4 Eastern time, and of course they cracked the futures on the reopen. They cracked the spiders and a few of the others, and When you see that stuff, does that have any effect on what you do?
Yeah, well, it was tough because we're going into the weekend and we had to decide, you know, have we seen a breakout? I mean, obviously we've broken up to new highs, but is it, you know, there's always that possibility it's a false breakout. And what we were seeing in the middle of Friday and into the end was VIX, our pattern in VIX had bottomed. And so we didn't know what if anything would, you know, cause a spike higher in it. And then we got that Turkey coup at the end of the day. So that didn't make sense, but we really didn't know going in, but we decided to stay short and stay short the markets and stay long our volatility positions. So it worked out, and that's the thing. The chart said we should stay with it, and so we did.
Well, and again, that's the funny thing. You know, I talk to people all the time, and I do live webinars, and of course I do the show, and I say, look, the markets will give you the news well before the news ever hits the street. Somebody knows, and somebody's acting usually before news hits the street. And of course, that's pretty much the case. And, you know, we see this over and over again. And of course, the average guy makes the same mistakes over and over again because they're trying to play some kind of news. And by the time the news is actually public, I always figure that I'm about the 1 millionth person in line that got it. So what good is it going to do me? What are you seeing in the grain markets? You know, wheat continues to be under pressure. Beans hold up a little bit. But again, to me, I look at it that my first target in beans was 1020. It got to 1021 last week, or the week before. Now I still think that there's a $10 or a high nine coming in before they can resume upside activity with any real balance. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. With soybeans, our target is 990, but it could be. You know, I've had to take a look at this pattern. It could play out, you know, a variety of different ways. I mean, all within a fairly tight range. 990 is the ideal spot for it to bottom for us, but really it could happen just on either side of 10. So anywhere from 990 to all the way up to 1010 maybe, but I still think it more likely goes a little bit below 10. And then we get another bounce out of it. In this case, to confirm what I'm looking at, we're looking at the RSI. There's a pattern in the RSI as well. So we're looking for about, I think it was 51 in the weekly RSI for soybeans to bottom. So that would correlate to somewhere around, around 10.
I agree with that. I mean, I think that you've got too many people trying to play the weather. I think that you've got the commercials trying to muscle around in there. And of course, you know, those markets are a little thinner. And of course, there is a little bit more action there when it comes to it. And I think that we're going to see these prices. And I think it'll once again trap the masses up there. And I think wheat, they continue to sell wheat like it's free. And, again, I understand all the fundamental data. But at the end of the day, the fundamental data is always priced into the market, in my opinion. And it's when to get to the next segment. So now, are you still a fan of wheat here?
Yeah, it's been one of the weakest though, but we think that right around 408 is our target low. Could go a little bit lower, go all the way down to 4, but I think 408 would be where we'd be interested in buying. And then I think all the grains will get a bounce. I think corn's probably already bottomed. It might have slightly more to the downside, but I think corn is probably the one that's already hit its support. Soybeans, like we just talked about, a little bit lower, and then wheat right around 408, which is not much lower. Then we should get a bounce. I think we should get a bounce up to possibly recent highs, but I think then we're just going to roll over one more time, and this time I really don't think the bear market is over in the grains, but that's a longer term setup. So
no, I understand. I mean, I think that the lows are, my personal opinion is the lows are in corn and wheat. Yeah, they could go a little bit lower, but I think we see a much bigger market from that. And again, one of the things that does change the dynamics of these trades is if the charts are correct and then you get the fundamental data to go with it and they do force them up, then I think you could see an extended rally. But what I don't like to see is these wild swings back and forth, because those are just the decisions that you just have speculators trying to push them back and forth. And I think that that becomes the bigger issue. I think we're going to get, once we find the bottom in beans, I think we're going to get a much better sustained rally, which is much better for us, instead of these wild, you know, up 50, down 50. Those are much more challenging to be involved with. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm with you, at least in the short terms. I do think we're going to get a bounce. And, you know, the way I'll know if, you know, really, you know, the bear market is over is if we popped, particularly in soybeans, if we popped the new highs, because where we peaked in soybeans, there is I call a pivot line, essentially. So if we, and it's relatively flat, it's relatively horizontal. So basically, if we make new highs in soybeans, then I think, you know, yeah, we're going, that it's over, we're going higher. So that would be the way. So short term, we're both on the same page. And if we break the new highs, then we'd be on the same page long term as well.
So what are you seeing in the dollar, Matt? I mean, that's obviously a big fundamental factor for commodities. Are you seeing anything in the dollar? I mean, I still think it's going to go back and at least test the buck one more time. What do you think?
I do too. I mean, you know, it's a tough read right now. Actually, there's clear support in euro right around 109, and you know, we think it's going to go up to, you know, at least 115. So that would suggest more downside for the dollar. We also, as we just talked about, I think, you know, the yen just hit support. I think it's going to strengthen, which will, you know, correlate with Nikkei and other markets falling. So, you know, if we have both euro on support and we have yen on support, those are the two big components of the dollar index. That tells me dollar index is headed back down.
Okay, so you think it's going back down. And again, I think it will make one more run, but after all these others play out in the overall.
You know, we're looking for, on the downside for the dollar, we're looking for, you know, as you were saying, a retest of the 90-92 area, but we think it'll be a higher low, and then we think we'll bounce to the December highs again. By the end of the year, we'll probably get to either the December highs, maybe get to new highs.
Right. And that's obviously what your charts are showing, and that would make sense based on what's going on in the world, because, again, one of the problems is that, you know, we are the strongest economy, so it does create and lend itself to a stronger dollar and stronger bonds, which is lower interest rates, if it happens. But we'll see, and, you know, it's going to be another interesting week. Anything catch your eye? We got about 30 seconds. Anything that we should watch for this week, Matt?
We're right on the edge. So, I mean, whether we get a breakout or not, we're looking again for 106.30 in the in U.S. dollar yen. If we break above that, rallies probably continue. Otherwise, we think that we should be seeing a sell-off.
We'll take this. We'll rename this segment "On the Edge" with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. We are on the edge, and it's going to be interesting how it plays out. This has been Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, and it's always great to have you on, Matt. I appreciate it. Your analysis is always spot on. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd. Always great to be here.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure when you miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm gets you not only The Bubba Show, but The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And that will do it for today. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station, same great information. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.